Hello and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for an hour of chat about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them. I'm quite tired, Steve. It's been a busy weekend for me.
Yeah, I saw that. Going to the Camel Trophy.
The 45th, anniversary of Camel Trophy with the Camel Trophy Club. What an absolutely awesome weekend from start to finish.
I can't believe it's been 45 years.
I know. It was so amazing to see such a huge range of vehicles, such an amazing group of people, including a lot of the competitors and support from the events, all in one place at Eastner. Of all places, you know, where else would you hold it?
Eastner Castle. That is the home of.
Absolutely fantastic.
So it fueled your sort of like fetish for Michelin XEL somewhat then?
Well, let me tell you, there were some stunning examples.
I did see one on your on Insta.
Yeah, there's lots of them about. It was good. It's easy to forget what an enormous undertaking each event was. When you look at Nick Dimbleby's book and you look at the logistics involved and the pre-scouting of all the routes and the, you know, shipping vehicles across the world and spares packages, and there's like helicopters dropping gearboxes out and people rolling cars on their side to do clutches, and just amazing.
Absolutely. And it will never ever happen again.
Not like that, it won't, no. You wouldn't, I mean, the environmental side of it obviously is a big part.
Understandable, but
it was really, really cool. And JLR Experience were there. They were doing rides and drives in their current fleet around the estate, which is really cool.
Did you go around?
Yeah, in a Range Rover, latest shape Range Rover. Really good fun. There was Defenders, Range Rovers, and Discoveries, all doing the tracks around Eastner.
It's still to this day the best off-roading I've done.
I love that course, so good, and like just the actual location itself, the woodland, like there's wildlife, there's deer running everywhere. It's just like nothing else, really.
Yeah,
it's absolute
perfection. That's where I first met you there, wasn't it?
It was. On the Eastern
Explorer.
When
you were the opposition.
And do you know what's funny? When we did the Explorer, it was the same instructor that took me around at the weekend that we had on that day, and he remembered me. He was I took you around on Eastern Explorer. I was like, oh yeah, Simon, his name is. What? He's a lovely bloke.
Yeah.
And a diehard Land Rover fan as well. He's got a G4 110 that he's driving to Spain next week. So he's living and breathing it.
Do they still do that Explorer course?
He was telling me they ran it for a while, and then the uptake was amazing to begin with. But then I think there was an adjustment in the price, and it became less popular.
I.e., it went up.
Possibly, I don't.
Yeah, that was excellent. I mean, obviously we were on the journalist side, so it was a bit different, but I thought at the time it was brilliant value for money because it was a cracking day
and the most extreme off-roading you could do at Eastner.
Yeah, in a car that isn't even yours.
Remember when we went to Camel Bridge?
Yeah.
And it was one of the first times that it had been those tracks had been driven in years. They took the sign off and had it at the in the main tent at at the do. It was awesome. Yeah, Nick Dimbleby, Mike Bishop, loads of really, really significant Land Rover personalities were there. Charity auction on the Saturday night as well. Might have done a few buys of some little bits and pieces. Got a CT45 Camel Trophy anniversary number plate plaque thing.
Oh, very nice.
Really, really good.
That's good.
Just a great group. Because I turned up there and, you know, I'd only joined the club really because I wanted to go to CT45 because it looked like, you know, I love Camel Trophy and always have done, and I'm glad that I'm now part of it because I'll continue to support it. But I got there and I knew a few people that were there, but John Masters, GWAC John, I spotted his him and Haddo and his dad, they were there in their Defender Challenge 90, and I spotted him down the bottom of the hill, so I sort of pitched up. They come to Malvern.
Yeah, I know Haddo
Lavicum.
Yeah, because and Tim,
yeah, his dad, Tim,
that's it, yeah.
Ian and Kira and a few others that I sort of vaguely knew, Dion Johns as well. So I sort of went down there and said hello, and they were like, oh, come join us. So I camped up the way in Hotel Freelander.
Your second outing in your rooftop tent.
Indeed, yes.
And you've tested it in different weather now.
Different weather is one word for it. it was...
I did think, oh yeah, Martin will be having fun.
Extremely windy, pretty much all weekend, and pretty heavy rain on the Friday night. But thankfully, the wind meant that the rain moved on pretty quickly. So it was, for the most part, sunny, bit cloudy, but there was torrential downpours.
I would say that's probably one of the only downsides to a roof tent is when it is windy, it feels windier when you're in a roof tent than what it actually is. So you get out and think, oh, it's not actually as windy as I thought.
You
just pick up a bit more.
There was a lot of that. And obviously because people were flying Camel Trophy flags as well, was quite a lot of noise. But I would do it again tomorrow. It was an awesome, awesome weekend. And we've officially made international relations. We have shaken hands with the Underpowered Hour. It was great to meet Steve Berris and Ike Goss.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Jenna and... Linus as well, the whole team almost. The only person missing was Liza. But yeah, really, really good. Had a good chat with them. And yeah, we're going to get together and have a collaboration a little way down the line.
A collaboration podcast?
Yes.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, it'd be
cool. How many people will be in the room?
Well, no, it won't be in person. It'll be across the internet.
Oh, they won't be back. Okay, oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I've done an over the internet one, yeah.
Well, this is the thing, is it's probably the push that I need to harness the power of technology, because so far to date, in all the podcasts we've done, they've all been in person. Doesn't matter what guest has been on, they've always been sat next to us.
I think it makes it easier, you know.
It will. What, you think being in person does?
Yeah.
It makes it more... It makes it easier from a sort of rapport point of view, I think. But from, you know, if we get up and running with the over the internet stuff, it opens up a whole world of opportunity for amazing people we could have on the podcast.
Well, actually, you know, you are right, because you can't be in the same room as everybody all of the time.
No.
So even people like we've wanted to get on here, and logistically, if they're 3 hours away.
Exactly.
It's a day commitment.
Yeah, so, yeah. For them. I think that'll be really good. Jack Dobson, of course, LRM contributor, he's really keen to get on the podcast, and he's the other side of the world. So
wow, we can't... Now. If we're sat right, Trotters Independent Traders, we're like international.
We'll save a few grand on the plane plane tickets and get him on the podcast over the internet.
I was hoping we could scrape the budget together to go.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
Cheeky trip to Australia. But no, it was a really, really good weekend. I am feeling the lack of sleep a little bit now. But we forge on. It was absolutely worth it. Just an amazing time, and to see so many of the people that I've read about in, like I say, Nick Dimbleby's amazing Camel Trophy book.
Sort of Land Rover royalty.
Brings it to life, honestly. It was like surreal in a way. You're in a tent with these people, these amazing people that you've read so much about, and it was like, wow, you had to pinch yourself almost. Awesome stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. How's your weekend been?
Yeah, I haven't done any Land Rovering. Just a family weekend this weekend.
We did before you went.
We did.
We did some Land Rovering, didn't we?
Well, I forget about that because that was on Friday, wasn't it?
That was like before the weekend. Before the weekend, it still happened.
We did a bit of Land Rovering. So, we were in the middle of fitting a bulkhead removal bar on for the rear tub. So essentially, we're trying to drill all the holes now, aren't we, before it goes to paint?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, get the tub lined up and drill the holes for the cross member tabs and the, like you say, the removal bar as well.
Yeah. Get it all lined up. Put another parts order in today. So that's arriving Wednesday. That will help. And also went to I found a local sandblasting place.
Ah.
Which is really, really convenient. On a farm in the Fens.
Worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, it does powder coating as well. Really good. Dropped, because I went to drop some bits off to the painter the other day. The doors, they're now with the paint.
Cool.
In fact, he messaged me just an hour ago, in fact. So that's good. But he sent me on my way with the windscreen frame and said the hours to prep that, because it's got multiple layers of paint, to prep it, it will take me there's hours worth of prep. Go and get it blasted and bring it back.
Right, okay.
So I found a blaster, sent it in, which I shall do tonight. So I'm picking that up at about 5:30 from the blasters. So
very good. Yeah, the blasting, knowing a good, reliable local person who can do things like all different types of blasting, and you say he does powder coating as well.
Yeah, he does massive, like anything from small pieces to like industrial farm machinery, that sort of scale of stuff.
Wow, okay.
So handy, eh? If we want something doing.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, no, definitely. And we were, yeah, we it was one of those weird sort of workshop sessions in that you don't feel like you've done much because visually not a lot's changed, but actually we did make quite good progress, didn't we?
No, we did. We did. We just want to make sure everything's lined up, don't we, before we get it painted.
It would be awful to get it back from paint and then cause damage or whatever.
Because I noticed when we took the tub off, didn't we, and then put it back on again.
Yeah.
And then I noticed if that was painted, would we have managed to get a scratch?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where... It's quite scary, isn't it? The tub's quite a long... Like a big old panel, isn't it? It's quite heavy, and
it's that first sort of making sure everything's as good as it can be before you get it painted to minimise. Because even if you mask stuff up and whatever, if you're struggling with bars and ratchet straps and drill bits, and you know, it's a recipe for disaster if something's freshly painted. So, I mean, I'm glad we're spending the time to do it because
like prep work, isn't it? Is that your final finish is only as good as the prep.
100%. Yeah, that's what they all say, isn't it? And that's where your time is spent a lot of the time. But yeah, it's good. It's all good. So I actually had an email from a listener called Stephen Jarmers, I think is how you pronounce his surname. He has seen the light, and he starts with, "I'm a long-time listener and a massive series Land Rover fan. I'm looking at a Freelander 2 as a daily driver, and I've found a nice one, local to me. It's done 80,000 miles, 2011 HSE. The best kind.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I've just been to look at it. It all looks great mechanically, but I put my thumb through the wheel arch behind the door at the bottom. I understand this is quite a commonplace for rot. How much of a worry is it? Or is it just a bread and butter thing that I should buy the car anyway and just get it sorted?" So, Freelander 2s.
The wheel arch...
So behind the... You open the back door.
Oh, yeah.
You know where the wheel arch comes down and meets the sill.
The passenger door, you mean? Not the tailgate door?
Yeah, the passenger side doors.
Oh, yeah.
Where the rear arch comes down and meets the sill. Really common. They just get all, like, dirt and stuff. Right. Something Land Rover did on the Freelander 2s, which I still can't quite get my head around, was they put rubber, like, knock-on... rubber strips on the insides of the wheel arches.
Right, yeah.
And they always used to peel away, and we used to change tons of them in the dealership. But actually, all they did was hold water, which promotes rust, especially when it's mixed with salt.
You almost want to remove them.
Well, that's what I did. As soon as I got mine, I threw them in the bin so that it stays dry, you know, the majority of the time. But yeah, the back of the sills and the bottom of the wheel arches are really becoming a big issue on Freelander 2, Discovery 3, a lot of sill problems on Discovery 3.
Yeah, yeah.
And L322s. Because for years, they were Land Rovers that didn't rust, weren't they? And now, you do see quite a bit of it. Your friend, in fact, got in touch about her rear subframe on the Freelander 2, didn't she?
Yes, and had it replaced with another one. A good second-hand one, I think, if I remember rightly.
So, well, in answer to your question, Stephen... I would go ahead with it anyway, because if the rest of it's as good as you say it is, it's a brilliant, like, HSC is the one to have, really. Nice low mileage car. I would 100%, I'd go for it. You can get the panels now, you can get the arches and the sill repairs, and I would just have that done, rust proof it, not worry, and carry on, would be my advice.
Very low mileage.
Yeah, really nice, on a 2011. Enjoy the Freelander 2. I hope you go ahead with it. Really, really nice cars. And thoroughly impressed with mine still. Although I have noticed I changed the crankshaft sensor on it again a few months ago. And now, with all the heavy rain we had at the weekend, I'd get dead spots in the throttle. So I think I need to probably do like an overlay harness on the wiring to the crank sensor. When it gets wet, much like your TD5's throttle pedal.
Yeah, we did an overlay loom on that, didn't we?
Yes, it has a little bit of a hiccup, but no, I can't recommend them highly enough, really, as everyone knows, because I never shut up about them. Lots of very cool Freelanders there at the weekend, actually, Camel Trophy and G4 flavour Freelanders.
They are a good car.
They are.
I'll definitely get one again.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot to be said for them.
Yeah, just not a rogue one, hopefully.
Yeah, yours was a bit of a lemon, wasn't it? But James Reynolds as well has been in touch. He says he's got a bit of a buying story for us, actually, which is quite nice. So are you ready for story time with Martin, Stevie?
Yeah, I am ready.
Okay, James Reynolds, he says, well, his email subject is General Waffle or How Not to Buy a Land Rover.
Which, oh, we can fill that.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got a few stories. But he says, hi, Martin and Steve. Just like to say that I really enjoy the podcast and listen to it while I'm sitting at the workbench. After enjoying your Land Rover stories, I thought I'd tell you my Land Rover story for your amusement. I was weaned on Land Rovers in my teen years and learned to hate them thoroughly. My father was bitten badly by the Land Rover bug, and the garden slowly turned into a junkyard of towering stacks of well-filled tubs, and the workshop slowly filled with what I now recognise to be an enviable collection of prized finds, capstan winches and crates of Smith heaters. Absolute gold dust.
Yeah, all that stuff that you'd have just chucked away back then.
He goes, at 15, I remember my dad mentally disowning me while spending another Saturday morning holding a footwell in place while shutting my eyes to the arc of the MIG welder, in brackets, a parenting technique not much employed these days. Not enough, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think everyone should have a bit of arc eye in their life.
If you haven't worn sunglasses indoors because you can see stars, are you even a Land Rover owner?
Do not do it. Arc eye...
It is hideous.
I've not had it bad, but even just staring, even just glancing at somebody welding can make your eyes feel funny.
That
don't do it.
Story I shared probably in one of our first podcasts about when I snapped the Panhard rod bracket off my front axle while off-roading, and then we borrowed a welder and stuck it back on. We obviously didn't have masks or anything, and for days afterwards, it was horrendous. I would not advise it for anyone.
No.
Wear a mask while you're welding. Anyway, after that, he said he would never, ever work on his own car. Alas, time passes and we become wiser with age and financial reality bears home. He says, I'm now 30 and keen to relive those Saturday mornings. Age 22, finally, someone did the kindness of pushing my Renault Clio across the road and writing it off on possibly the slowest speed collision in recorded history. Convinced I was due a massive payout, I knew I'd be quids in and set up to buy my next car, so I set off looking for a Defender. Safe to say, after fighting with the insurers for months, I had to settle for a mere £660.
Wow. Doesn't buy much Defender.
Which was only £30 above what they initially offered him, which I argued was unfair. And Defenders were at the height of their market, so the budget didn't quite meet up, but... He went to see a few locally, which were realistically way out of his paltry budget. Everything he went to see seemed to be as bad as they could be. Tarted up for sale, having only been moved slightly away from worryingly large oil slicks. I can relate.
I don't know how you viewed your one.
Or daubed with Raptor paint filler and mismatched tyres.
Yeah, hideous.
Not good. Eventually, the courtesy car from the insurers was requested back, and I bit the bullet in the way and only an overly confident 22-year-old can. After being fed up of trying to find a good one on a budget, I decided to buy the most honest bad one I could find. You know, they do say that about Defenders, don't they? There's a good Defender and there's a cheap Defender, but there's never a good cheap Defender.
No. No, there's not.
He says it was Saturday night. It was on eBay. He selected time ending soonest. And then he bit the bullet at £2,995 at the nearest one he could find to his house.
That's cheap.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably a few years ago. It's probably reasonable for one that needs work.
Oh, okay.
Sunday morning, he was asked by the seller if he'd been on the beers, as it struck him as slightly unusual to buy the car unseen. I asked him if it was as bad as it looked, and to his credit, he said, it's actually worse because I put some duct tape over the door pillar hole for the picture. Excellent. At least he was honest.
Yeah, of course. Honest. Yeah, honest seller.
The next step was to get a lift from his amused friend and his mechanic from North Yorkshire to Sheffield. And the mechanic said he came along because he didn't want to miss out on laughing at him, which is fair enough. I've never thought any further than Defender, but what he actually bought was a 1991 200 TDI 90, which had been resprayed from Windjammer blue to metallic black and looked awful.
Oof.
The car had a valid MOT on paper, so in every respect, fine to drive home. He says again, choices that 22-year-olds make aren't always right. Upon checking it over, it was pretty clear that all the wheel bearings were toast, the tyres were legal but not great, and it didn't have any coolant in it. I'm loving where this is going. Fortunately, the seller couldn't have found a happier purchaser. Needing a car and not having done any due diligence, I didn't have a leg to stand on. The seller was perfectly nice and we all laughed at my immense stupidity.
Wow.
Fortunately, he had the grace to fill the tank for me, which was a little solve, as the reality of the insurance premium that first year it meant I probably couldn't afford to drive it much anyway, and his first fuel stop was for water and oil. It gets better, doesn't it? Amazingly, it managed the 70 miles home with only one sphincter twitching moment when I caught the pedal of the footwell mat at a junction, went out of gear, and it took a moment for me to figure out why it was now suddenly running at maximum revs. He says, needless to say, when my dad saw it, he didn't speak to me all morning, then told me clearly I'd made an enormous mistake, and then took off a little more time off for speaking to me. He was clearly thrilled that I had made use of his years of experience.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
Yeah, so took the country roads home, the seat collapsed, and so he originally emailed because he was trying not to recommend painting your own Land Rover, and he said actually he wanted to make a point on the contrary, because he's actually done it himself and with pretty good results, and he's attached a picture of the Defender on its first drive back in 2017, taken from the vehicle behind, and actually from that distance it doesn't look too bad.
You would buy that for $2,995.
You would, yeah. She's yeah, good looking from afar but far from good looking, I believe the phrase is. But yeah,
well, for 200 TDI, even if it was like a few years ago.
Well, the engine's £1,500 straight away.
It is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fair play. I enjoyed that very much. I think we all do things when we're that sort of age that perhaps we look back on and go, yeah.
But as long as you live to tell the tale.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
the main thing.
Exactly that. So, yeah, all good fun. There's a new tech tip video online, which you may have seen. Machine Mart, kindly sponsor not only a bit of the podcast, but also tech tips, which we put on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, your latest one was on
Impact Gun.
Impact Gun versus Breaker Bar.
Yeah,
that was quite interesting.
And when use which?
Yeah.
So basically use an impact gun where you can't... No, you use a breaker bar where you can't fit an impact gun normally.
But a dugger gun.
But yeah, so I was taking the flywheel off my 200 TDI. And the bolts are not only thread locked in to stop the oil seeping through, but because obviously the flywheel can move if you haven't got it locked, you reach for an impact gun, don't you?
To shock it undone.
To shock it free. Mm. And that applies for a lot of different places on a Land Rover, really. And once you've owned an impact gun, you'll wonder how you ever did without one, really.
You see, I own an impact gun, but not impactful enough. It's one that you'd put screws in for fencing and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. They're handy, though.
That is really good. I mean, it does... So, for example, mine's a DeWalt one, and it came with the drill in a box.
Okay.
So, and because once you get that kind of battery system, you'll stick with the brand, won't you?
Generally, yeah.
So, with mine, I'll crack the wheel nuts off, for example, with the breaker bar, because it won't do it on the thing, and then just use it to wind them off quick.
Yeah.
That's what I do. So I've managed all this time without an actual proper impact gun.
Mm. No, those little ones are handy for screws and things, though. They're pretty decent for smaller stuff.
Yeah.
Like whipping grills out and, you know, stuff like basically not wheel nuts or suspension bolts. But half-inch impact guns are fantastic for most things. You can see the state of mine in the video. It's been used.
Oh, yours is well used.
The rubberized coating is starting to struggle slightly, but
how much are they?
Well, funny you should ask that, Steve.
That was a real natural segue.
Do you know what's funny though is we didn't actually. I didn't ask you to say that, but if you want to,
I've just realised you've got. How much are they? Well,
so professional, aren't we? Machine Mart have got a great deal on at the moment. The Clark CIR 184 LIP is the catchy product name. It's a 18-volt, half-inch impact gun. Comes with two batteries and a charger, £173.99.
That's not bad.
No, and it looks not dissimilar to the one that I use. So
would that do up? Oh, sorry, would that undo Land of the Wheel Nuts?
Yeah. It's got 400 newton metres it's rated to, so it should do.
That's proper.
Yeah, it's a beefy bit of kit. These have really... I remember when electric impact guns really became a thing, because I was working...
They're always on a compressor, aren't they?
So, yeah, traditionally...
Talk to me about compressors at the minute. I'm not happy.
Oh, yeah, we'll get onto that in a minute.
Yeah, we will.
that was threatening.
Yeah, well, I want to... Yeah, I can vent, can't I?
But the bottom drawer of my toolbox is filled with air tools that haven't seen use for probably 15 years, because even when I left the dealer, no one was using their air tools anymore. Everyone had electric ratchets, rechargeable impact guns.
Yeah.
They revolutionised, really, working on cars, because you didn't have a big... You didn't have to, like, sling your airline under the ramp and then walk around and pick it up, and you could get them in places you couldn't get
air
tools.
And the air tools are really noisy.
They are. Yeah, they are noisy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that now you can get a really... what looks like a really good quality half-inch drive impact gun with two batteries and a charger for less than £200 is a bargain.
That does sound really good value for money. So what was that code again?
Do you know what? I've actually lied to you. It's on an even better deal than £173.99. I've just scrolled down the listing. It's now only £161.99, including VAT. As you listen to this, that might change, obviously, if you're listening to it in a year's time, but... You need that, you do.
I do need it. Do you know what? I think you just cost me some money.
You need that, you do. Yeah.
No, I really, really do need it, because my impact gun, it's only really supposed to be driving screws at home, not mechanical.
Right. No. Actually, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, you've got a week to take advantage of this offer, because it runs out on the 23rd of September. So you need to buy yours tonight.
Yeah, WhatsApp me that, will you?
I will. I'll send you the link.
Thanks, man.
But yeah.
This is why working at LRM costs you money.
It is incredibly expensive.
It? Yeah, it's an expensive job to have this.
It's like going on the Snap-on van when you're a mechanic.
Yeah. I've never been in a Snap-on van.
I don't recommend it.
I have some Snap-on screwdrivers that my mate Pete kindly gave me, brand new, because he had a second set. And I save them for best.
Yeah.
Like, I don't use them as chisels.
Yeah, you use them for actually driving screws.
I actually use them for screwdrivering. Yeah.
Yeah, not
anyway,
beating
right,
on it.
Compressor.
Oh, yes, let's have compressor.
My goodness me, right? So I'm going to write a review in a magazine about my compressor.
Okay.
But the podcast listeners can get a sneak preview. I have a compressor. Shall I say the make, where it's from?
Yeah, why not? They don't sponsor us. They can come after us if they want. It's an honest review.
No, it's an honest review. Okay, so if it was a 5-star review, I'm going to give it...
A review out of 5?
A 2,
okay.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
So it's 100 litre, 14 point something CFM compressor. Okay, by SGS Tools.
Yes.
I've got quite a few there bits. I've got axle stands. They're just metal, aren't they? Strong. Perfect. We've got those skates from SGS. I've got the jack from SGS. Anyway, the compressor, it's like a twin motor.
Yeah, it's like a V-twin, isn't it?
It's a V-twin, essentially. 97 decibels.
Yeah, it's pretty loud.
It's hideous.
It's even louder when it doesn't build pressure.
It's a hideous, hideous noise. I mean, even with the garage door shut, like my neighbours, Bob One, they know the compressor's fired up.
Yeah.
I underappreciated. In fact, when I looked for a compressor, I didn't give it a second thought that it would be as loud as it was.
Right.
So 97 decibels is ridiculous. If you are looking for a compressor and you live in a residential area and you don't want to go insane, get this one.
I got one, actually. I got one secondhand off my brother-in-law, but it's a Clark one, and it's got a much smaller tank. Mine's only a 50-litre tank. Yours is 100-litre, isn't it?
Mine is 100 litres.
When it's
working. So I noticed the other day, I fired up the compressor to blow the tyres up on whatever it was. And I'd got in for a cup of coffee and it was still running.
Was it on the Jag?
Yeah, it was on a Jag. Actually, that's another thing. That's a day of my life.
Another financial mistake of Steve's.
If anyone's listening, it's a really good one. No, it's a nice car. But anyway, moving on. Compressor was... It makes my ears ring being in the same room as it. That's how loud it is.
It is incredibly loud.
So it's a... Have you ever heard of the word discombobulator?
Yeah.
I've had an idea, right?
Okay.
As a security measure for my garage, I want to wire the compressor up.
To the door?
So if anyone opens a door in the middle of the night, the compressor chirps up. That will make burglars run a mile.
Yeah.
Like a discombobulator thing.
That's a great idea.
Because that's how it sets me mad in my head.
You could have it. You could have like an air fitting on one door and then the air line on the other. So when the door is open, it breaks the thing and then the compressor tries to come back up to... Up to its correct pressure again. And it kicks in and makes
that
a hideous noise.
That would make any burglar breaking into the garage run.
Your entire village would know.
And everyone would know
Someone's
breaking into the garage. So anyway, I've owned it for about 6 years and it hasn't done a lot of work and it's not been building up pressure.
Just like its owner?
Yeah. Basically, yeah. My compressor hasn't worked properly for 6 years.
You've been longer than that, I reckon. Anyway, sorry, continue. I'll stop interrupting.
So it only gets to about a third of the pressure, and then it won't go beyond. And I've checked everything. So I got onto them the other day. They've got like a helpline. And you know these jobs you put off, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
But anyway. And they said, oh, can you check this? Can you check that? It's all good. It looks like the day it was delivered. It looks pretty new, to be fair. Next thing they advise is that the cylinder head's off. I'm like, what? This is quite in-depth, isn't it? Really? Oh, is there any burning? No, there isn't. There is no signs as to why that won't thing. They've got no answer. And now they're saying, oh, we'll quote you for new cylinder heads. And yet they haven't emailed me back now.
And not only that, you don't know that that's the problem.
Well, no, it's like, well, yeah, replace the motor. Will it change anything? I don't know anything about compressors.
Nor do they, by the sounds of it.
No, they don't. And now the trailer's gone cold. They haven't provided. I said, yeah, quote me on the parts then, because it'd be interesting to know how much these parts are.
It would be interesting to know, but I would honestly...
But then I'm sitting there taking bits off it and not actually resolved the issue. I think it's fit for scrap.
The tank would be worth keeping. You could buy a decent compressor from machinemark.co.uk and then plumb it into your big tank, and then you'd have all the air you would ever need for...
What, I have two tanks?
Yeah, if you buy one with a same power but like a smaller tank so it's a bit more compact, you could mount that tank upright in the corner and have loads and loads of air on standby should you need it.
I mean, I barely...
For riveting.
In all seriousness, I don't actually need more air than it's providing me.
Right.
Because I've tried to run air tools with it before, like a DA sander, and it can't keep up.
I think there's something wrong with it, because a 100-litre tank, yeah, they're quite air-hungry, air sanders and things like that, but it should run it for a few minutes before it runs out.
So I've got an exhaust, you know, the exhaust cutter, little grind.
Yeah, die grinder.
Yeah, not a die grinder. It's like they call it an exhaust cutter. It's like a miniature angle grinder to get into small spaces.
Yeah, whizzy wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that, it won't. You will never cut anything with that. You wouldn't even cut your toenails with it. It goes, and it's like, there's nothing. And it goes, push, push, push.
No, there's something wrong with it, I reckon.
It's crap.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm not happy.
Honest Steve's honest reviews.
There you go. In fact, I said a 2 out of 5. I'm going to give it 1.
Yeah. I don't think it's got many redeeming features. It's not only noisy, it doesn't work very well.
You know, it makes you feel sick, you know, like loud noises like that constantly.
Yeah.
It makes, when you're in the workshop with it, it makes you feel sick.
Mm.
That's not good. You need ear defenders.
Yeah, well, wear the appropriate PPE, just like the welding mask.
I should do.
But
anyway, moving on. What have we got?
Well, we've had another email, and I was aware of this. I think you were too. I was going to try to go to it, but I ended up doing family stuff, so I didn't. You will have heard about this. First Overland event. In London.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been on, hasn't it?
Yes, it's been and gone, unfortunately. Yeah. Like I say, I had good intentions, but there's only so many weekends in the year. And I wanted to go to the Camel Trophy do, so I had to forego this. But Mark Banks has rubbed it in by saying, "Dear Martin and Steve, thanks for the great work you do and for on both the magazine and the podcast." Well, thanks very much. He says, "Just in case no one else has mentioned it, I think the 70th anniversary of First Overland that was held on the Sunday, the 31st of August, might be of interest to your podcast listeners." Quite. It was of interest to me. Organised by Alex Beskerby and Land Rovers of London, approximately 100 Land Rovers congregated around Belgrave Square to surprise Tim Slesser, who was in the Grenadier pub. He's now in his 90s and was one of the six adventurers who drove two Series 1 Land Rovers, Oxford and Cambridge, from London to Singapore in 1955. The Platinum Anniversary event then involved a convoy of all participating Land Rovers driving to a celebration congregation at the Bremont Watch HQ in Henley.
Very nice, yeah.
The event was raising money for the very well-deserved Gurkha Welfare Trust charity. It was a brilliant event to commemorate an amazing global achievement with some fantastic people and lovely Land Rovers, plus the Grenadiers Guards Band. Seven Land Rovers with passengers and drivers from the Thames and Chiltern branch of the Series 1, 2 and 3 Club met at the Ace Cafe that morning before convoying to Belgrave Square for the event. I've owned my 1964 Series 2A, called Bob, for 3 years now after rescuing it from a local driveway where it stood for 10 years. I'm an LRM subscriber, Spares Day visitor and regular listener to your podcast. Thanks to the LRM team, keep up the good work. Kind regards, Mark. And he's attached some rather lovely pictures of Tim and Alex stood beside the Series 1.
Very nice.
And the
band. That would have been a great day.
It really would have done, yeah. Mm. It's lovely to see, much like the Camel Trophy event, people really celebrating these amazing feats, really, that Land Rover achieved back, you know, years and years ago. It's just really cool to see that the passion is still burning as strongly as it is. Yeah, really, really, really cool. Some great pictures. Thank you for that. That's really great, Mark. I might put that in the mag as well, actually.
Hmm. No, it is lovely, yeah. Just interestingly, right, so he said subscriber to LRM.
Yeah.
So I've had a word with our marketing team. We have a bit of an offer at the minute.
I'm listening.
So if you've never tried Land Rover Monthly before and you're just thinking, what is it all this magazine malarkey about? Because you don't buy them or you just do it ad hoc. You can get the next 3 issues delivered to your house on a subscription.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trial offer.
Okay.
For £3. Not each issue. For just £3, you get the next 3 months' worth of issues.
That is cheap.
It is. As a trial offer. And then, when you've realised you can't live without it, just give us £19.99 for every 3 months, and you get it delivered to your door.
Makes sense.
Which is a real bargain. If after 3 months you don't like it,
you don't have, you're not tied in. Thanks very much.
Give it a whirl. But worth taking it up, actually, because
3 issues for £3, that is really good. Yeah. That's, what, less than a pint?
I mean, it costs us more than that to post one.
Like, yeah.
You know, yeah. Postage costs. But it's a way of just finding your feet, just thinking, is this for me?
Give it a go. Yeah. Because, honestly, I mean, we're really, really pleased with what we're doing with the magazine at the moment. We get loads of lovely feedback on it. It's something we put an awful lot of work into, and the contributors obviously work on the magazine. They know their onions. They're not, you know, they're not just, they're enthusiasts, they're knowledgeable, they live for this stuff.
Yeah.
And that comes across in the pages. And also, not only that, the stunning photography that we get in LRM is just head and shoulders.
It's so good.
So, yeah, if ever you were on the fence about trying it out, 3 issues for £3 delivered to your door, and 90% of the time they turn up before it goes in the shops as well, depending on your local post service. What's not to like?
Yeah.
So where can people find out about this amazing offer, Steve?
Head over to landrovermonthly.co.uk website. Should worth pointing out, actually, if you're outside of the UK, you'll probably need to do it on a digital issue.
Yeah.
Can't send them outside of the UK. We can send them outside of the UK, but not on the 3 for £3.
Right, okay.
So, but that, if you listen to this in a year's time, the offer probably isn't around anymore.
But
so,
we'll most likely have some other deal.
We've always got an offer on, but that is a, we won't get better than that.
No, that's by far the most tempting deal, because we just want to spread the good word of Land Rover.
Yeah,
Monthly,
get you hooked.
Yeah, because the podcast's great, but you can't see us at the moment, and you can't see Land Rovers. So you know where you can see them is in the magazine.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Yeah. Talking of, shall we seamlessly segue into Feature of the Week?
Yeah, we haven't had that for a while, I don't think.
I keep forgetting about it. I've got to be honest with you. We're normally nattering about something else. Feature of the Week, Yellow Peril, is a very, very cool Series 3, which was Land Rover's first sort of real go at the recreational market. Obviously, the North American Spec 90 was, well, it's an iconic Land Rover, isn't it? Bright colours, roll cage, V8, what's not to like? But that was, this thing is basically that's granddad. So from the factory, back in the day, these guys took a short wheelbase series, slapped a V8 in it, put a black soft top on it, wider wheels, put some wheel arches off I believe it was off a 110. And yeah, they thought, you know, we'll dip our toe in the recreational SUV, I guess you could call them, field. And the result was absolutely awesome. That is in the classic section of Land Rover Monthly this week. And it's there's a really cool sort of backstory on it, how it changed hands when it left the factory and the work that's been done to it since, and a bit of, you know, driving impression, stuff like that. Really, really smart thing. And something that I'm sure this would be quite inspirational to someone who's maybe got a short wheelbase series kicking about and they possibly recreate
it. You could recreate that. Really nice. Nice job done.
In fact, probably back in the sort of early 90s, people were doing this sort of thing, just not to that level of sort of...
I love that colour.
It's very yellow, isn't it?
Yeah, I do love it.
Yeah, hence its nickname of Yellow Peril, because with a V8, the handling was somewhat precarious, shall we say. So, it well and truly earned its nickname. But, yeah, great little feature in that. That's in the current issue, which you can buy. You can go and get it in shops. Or, again, take advantage of this subscription offer.
Yeah, nice.
Because it's not going to be around forever.
You know your 4x4. You've chosen every upgrade, every bolt-on with purpose. So when it comes to tyres, chunkier, wider, more capable for the conditions, you want the perfect fit. Not just any tyre, your tyre. That's why you'll choose 4x4tyres.co.uk, the wheel and tyre specialists, trusted by Land Rover owners and serious off-roaders alike. Whether you're upsizing, overlanding, making your Defender look the part, or your Discovery turn heads, we'll guide you to the right set. With over 800 fitting locations across the UK, from online to on-road, we've got you covered. Browse by vehicle, wheel size or brand. 4x4tyres.co.uk. The right fit, the right place, the right price.
The internet, right? You know, people go camping and overlanding and stuff generally to try and avoid technology.
Yeah.
There's other people who go away overlanding and maybe they're, what are those things called that people do? Digital nomad. So they want to work from their Land Rover when they're abroad or camping or...
Oh, yeah. There's all the van life people that do that, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly, yeah. That. Well, now, 4B are offering an antenna mount for your Starlink, so you never need be without internet. It's a mere £35 and it bolts to the roof or roof rack of your Land Rover, or it comes with magnets so that you can stick it to, if you've got one with a steel roof, it can go straight on there. It's powder coated and you can mount your Starlink's antenna. So you've always got super fast internet wherever you are. So 4b.co.uk, go and have a look.
Do you know what? We should try something out. Just had an idea.
What's that?
So we get a Starlink.
They're expensive.
We have a Starlink here at Warners.
Do we?
For the events, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So when we were at all the showgrounds and things, we have Starlink to pick up for the card readers.
That's awfully sensible.
Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes there's no signal.
Some shows don't
have signal.
And there's no signal.
Ask us how we know.
Well,
just a couple of weeks ago, we may or may not been at a Land Rover show that didn't have any signal.
Well, the card readers work well enough to take the £5 parking charge, don't they? So,
that's a low blow.
Well, if...
They work there, but they'd have had a Starlink.
Ain't bitchy if it's true, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, continue.
We should get one.
Yeah.
Head into the most remote place we can find, England, Wales or Scotland.
Okay.
and do a podcast live. Live stream.
Live from the wilderness.
And see if it works.
Quite an elaborate way to test it, but I'm
well,
up for
really.
It.
It's yeah. just a, I just it, we don't need much of an excuse to head to somewhere like cool.
No, definitely not.
To do this.
No, I quite agree.
I got called a name the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not an unusual occurrence for you, is it?
It began with C, right?
Okay.
And it ended with K.
Okay. And it was it the male version of a chicken?
Yeah, it may have been that. An endearing bit of banter from our mate Ada Fisher. In fact, you'd have seen him at the
I saw him at CC45.
Because I may have been a bit negative towards 110 Double Cabs.
Well, yeah, Fit and Matt as well, our friend Matt Allcroft, he also gave me abuse on Instagram for the Double Cab slander.
Yeah.
I did not back down.
They are really, really cool looking, but still useless. There you go. Sorry, Ada.
Yeah, it is true, unfortunately. They are one of the coolest looking Defender variants, but also... cut off the blood supply to your lower legs if you're sat in the back, and you can fit a box of tissues in the back. So,
yeah, and the tissues will be wet because
there's nothing to cover them.
They're literally out. I just don't see the need for one.
Yeah.
Apart from looking cool.
They do look awesome.
When the Spectre ones, they look cool.
Yeah. Yeah. They do. They do. That's true. In fact, one of the guys who I was camping with at the weekend works at the dealer who built the Spectre Defenders for the film.
Right, okay.
He'd done quite a lot of film work.
But again, still useless, eh?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah. But they do. There's a reason they use them for the film, and that's because they look spot on. I think you'll agree.
Cool. Another quick shout-out, actually.
Okay.
I just want to say thank you to everyone that got in touch. To name some people, Matthew Pierce, I think you know. Do you know him?
Yeah, he's been in touch.
Yeah, he's been in touch. Sending me, Lower Dashes. From Auto Jumbles and people's names and numbers.
Ah, yes.
I did, in fact, manage to pick one up.
You had a little touch on that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did have what? I was quite chuffed.
We were scouring the place for Lower Dashes, weren't we? And there was a couple about, and we thought, they're...
Prices were ranging like £60 for a Lower Dash for a Defender.
A real ropey one with holes.
£125 for what I class as a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
And I thought, shall I just get this one and be done with it? And I was just, I'm just going to have another look round.
Just as well we did.
And all of a sudden there was this lower dash. And this is the beauty of auto jumbles, is that you just don't know what you're going to find. I saw this lower dash there. And I said, looked at it. And the chap said, it's illegal to leave my standard out buying something. I said, what do you want for this then, mate? He goes, £20. I was like, I literally could get my money out fast enough. £20.
You looked at me, I looked at you, and you kept a straight face while opening your
wallet. Oh, yeah, I was very like, yeah, I was like, yeah.
You should have been like, suck through your teeth, that's a bit rich, okay, mate.
Do it for 15? I couldn't do it.
£20? It's really, really good deal and fair
play.
7
out of 10 condition. It's not 10. I'm still looking for a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
In case one comes up, but I've now got one in reserve.
Jolly nice chap, though, wasn't he? And we had a good chat with him.
Yeah,
and,
He
was happy to not keep tripping over it. And
he was tripping over it. It was there. Yeah. I just couldn't believe the time we found it, no one else had seen it. But I suppose you're only... Not everyone's looking for a lower dash, are they? You think they are, but they're not.
No, indeed. And actually, did you see that company? I tried to ring you because I left a few minutes before
I still
you.
Don't know who that was.
Oh, I saw them on Facebook. I'll have to try and find the post. There is a company making new lower dashes for Series 3s and Defenders.
They will... is that all they make?
I don't know. Again, I'll try and find the company name. But yeah, they had the bare aluminium frameworks on display, and obviously...
There's a company on eBay that do them. They're about £640.
That might be the same people.
But then you've got to find foam, and where do you get the foam from? You can't just buy the foam, can you?
Do they not come covered?
I don't think so.
Oh, I don't know.
I noticed somebody else doing a galvanised new frame as well.
Right.
But
that makes
sense.
This
is this is almost like the obsession now with parts. They're so expensive, aren't they, to remanufacture stuff in low volumes.
That's the thing, isn't it? You've got to have enough people wanting the same thing to make it, I guess, well, cost effective for a lot of people. But there is good used stuff still out there, and do you know where you're going to find it? In October at our auto jumble events.
Yes, 4th of October, Newbury.
Yep,
the big one, biggest 4x4 Land Rover Spares Day in the world.
Indeed.
Doesn't seem 5 minutes since we were saying this time.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
Week later, Ripon. Up in Yorkshire.
Up in Yorkshire, yeah. Nice little spares day.
And then 2 weeks after that, so last weekend of October, we're back to the Three Counties at Malvern.
Yes,
indeed. For the last one of the year. So I love having a shopping list for used Land Rover parts. I love the thrill of the chase.
Yeah, that was almost like...
Do you know what? I'll give you an idea of this, right? You know we've been looking for Hot Wheels.
Yeah. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, so we've been looking for Hot Wheels Land Rovers specifically in various shops.
Yeah.
There was a Hot Wheels stand, wasn't there?
But, he's been to Newbury before.
Yeah, so the Hot Wheels stand at the LRA show
was
there, wasn't he?
Mm.
I didn't look on his stand.
I looked, but I'm with you. I agree
because
with you.
I knew the chances of him having a load of Land Rovers would be there.
Yeah.
Well, that would be easy then, wouldn't it? So I avoided it because I like the thrill of the chase of going to the shops and seeing if I find one.
Yeah, oh, I'm with you, 100%.
What I'm addicted to, that, looking for it, the hunt.
I mean, if you went to LRM Live this year, our two-dayer in Malvern, the guys on the sub-stand had a big box of Hot Wheels they were giving out to kids.
Mm.
Yeah, duplicates of ones that I'd found and I'd bought up anyway, and I thought, hey, it'd be nice to give something back. It's the excitement, isn't it, of what you're going to actually find going there, and because obviously he
might have had 10 different ones and I could have bought 10 different ones.
Yeah,
but then what do I do? I like the chase.
I completely agree.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
No, it's I think it's normal. It's quite fun. That's part of the fun.
I honestly felt happier buying that lower dash.
Well, that's what
I was buzzing for buying that lower dash.
That's also. Well, it's the same thing, isn't it? We were looking around. We were, scouring every...
There was four of us, wasn't there? All going up and down.
Yeah.
Plus, I've already been pre-warned by a few people. So thank you to everyone But that highlighted to me something about the community. They've, not everyone's got the voice of a podcast to put it out there that they're looking for something. Mm. But everyone come together looking.
Yeah,
brilliant.
That was really
absolutely
nice.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I enjoyed that. I like looking for bits and pieces.
Mm. There's a few more bits I need to get.
We were talking, actually, weren't we, the other day? It was quite funny. Because we really, really want to get the merch off the ground. And we said, I can't remember what we were saying about. But one of the ideas we've had is I live my life one parts list at a time.
I seem to be living my life one part. But you've just given the game away now. Someone's probably going to make that.
That's all right. We've got tons more ideas if someone decides to copy that.
But I live my life one part Land Rover parts list at a time.
It really is like that. I have notes in my phone of bits I need, and then every so often I'll go and order everything in one hit, and then before you know it, you've got another one that needs ordering, and it's like, ugh.
Do you know what I have got in the house? Four different notebooks in four different areas because I think about parts I need. One in the garage, one where I work, one with me now.
You're showing your age here because all you could do is whip your phone out and put it in notes.
Do you know what annoys me? On my phone, it's got the fingerprint thing, yeah?
Okay.
If you get dirty hands and you're in a workshop, you keep putting your finger on there to make it unlock.
Right.
And it's like, not recognised, recognised.
Oh, you see, this...
It only recognises my clean hands.
It's because you've got one of those phones that I don't like.
The phones that aren't made by a piece of fruit, you mean?
You need one that recognises your face or you just tap a code.
It's got Face ID.
Why don't you use that then?
You'd be surprised, mate. I'll show you after this podcast. When I did the podcast, I must have looked confused, right?
Default setting?
Yeah, but it must be right. So when I did my Face ID on my phone, when I set it up, I must have looked really confused. Because I worked out if I have a normal face, like now, if I look at my phone, it will not unlock.
Right.
But if I pretend to look confused,
it goes.
I have to pull a face to it. It does it.
What if I told you you could reset it so that it looks...
Can you do that?
Yeah, you can change. You can run it through a fresh thing and get it to calibrate again.
Oh, okay.
I'd do that rather than have to pull a face every time you want to unlock your phone.
I have to go like that. it unlocks. I have to look a bit gormless at it.
I mean, to be fair, I can see why it works so regularly. Oh God.
Oh. Anyway, so yeah, it's all good.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Do you remember a little while ago we put it out there to people to try and sort of name their dream five Land Rover garage?
Oh, wow, yeah.
We had a bit of a late response to it, so let me find this now. Mark Parsons, regular listener and emailer in. Don't forget, if you do want to send in your question or your bit of feedback to the podcast, simply email editorial@lrm.co.uk and we will endeavour to read it. And we absolutely love getting your comments. No, it's absolutely fantastic. Mark has got in touch. He says, "Hi, Martin and Steve. Here's my list of favourite Land Rovers as asked on the latest podcast." Right, okay, so it probably wasn't Mark being late. It's just me being late getting to his email. So apologies for that, Mark. He kicks off with a strong contender, Freelander 1 3-door soft top. That'd be a pre-facelift.
Yeah, very early.
I remember the
first Freelander I ever drove was one of those, S-Reg.
Yeah,
1998, a 1.8 K-Series.
I think at home I've got some of the original launch literature for the Freelander, and I can picture in my head now the colour of the 3-door soft top going through a puddle and the water is spraying up down the side of it, and it's got people sat in it with the soft back off, and it looks so cool. I loved all the marketing stuff from that
era. Yeah, really good.
Really, really good. So that's his first one, 3-door Freelander 1 soft top. That hasn't eaten into the budget much, I'll be perfectly honest. Second one, Series 2 109, lights behind grill, but set up as a recovery truck.
Very nice. Yeah. A bit like a Goodwood Revival type.
Yes.
That kind of look.
Goodwood Revival, indeed, was on this weekend. Yeah.
That looked very wet.
Yes, it probably would have been. Mm. But a very, very cool event, and one I hope to get to at some point. So yeah. Lots of Land Rovers.
You could almost go as you are.
Yeah, cheers.
Wouldn't need to get in period dress or anything. Just goes wrong. Does that have a 1980s look?
Nor do I. I wasn't even born then.
you just sort of, fit in quite well.
My hair is a mess because it's so windy today.
Yeah, anyway.
Goodwood Revival. Yes, in fact, the latest issue also has a big piece on all the new stuff that was at Festival of Speed and including some of the older stuff that you can see around Goodwood. So if you ever get the opportunity, definitely go. It's very good.
A cracking place.
His third one, he says, Defender 110 Adventure Edition. So last of the line, 20.
Orange and black.
Yeah, try also it. Available in grey and black, but you don't see as many.
No, but you know, if you're going to have an adventure, I think it's got to be orange and black.
Yeah, I think so as well. It looks like a bit more special, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Discovery, he says, after that, you'd have Discovery 1 3-door commercial. Very nice too.
On steel.
On the steel 5-spoke wheels.
Yes.
Yeah.
They look awesome.
Interesting, or perhaps not interesting story.
He never specified the wheels. I'm specifying the wheels on that particular car.
Yeah, fair enough. When I was looking to buy a Discovery 1, a good few years ago now, there was one on eBay. It was a white commercial, and I actually went to London to look at it because I was that serious about buying it. And it had, it was one of those vehicles that looks so much better in pictures than it did in person. But it had, I forget the name of it. It was either Auto Style or Auto something, body kit. If you've never seen one of these, they're the weirdest body kit. They're like so 1990s. It had like deeper bumpers, deep sort of side skirts that kind of curved down at the ends, and a spoiler on the back, like I don't know how to describe the spoiler. I'm trying to think of something that's similar to. Almost like, if you know any 90s Japanese stuff, almost like a Starlet Glanza rear spoiler, like comes up the side of the back door, across the top, and then down the other side again.
Oh, okay.
It
I
was
think I know what you mean.
Really quirky. And it was mechanically, it was okay, but it had been painted badly by the guy selling it, and it didn't look great, so I passed on it. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I've got a brochure for one of them. I quite like brochures. Got a brochure for one of them at home as well. Discovery 1 accessory brochure. I have to dig it out and check the name. But yeah.
You can get, there's a trader, I think, at one of our show, our Spares Days, that do all the brochures.
Yes, I've seen them. Yes, very cool. If you like your old literature.
Is it John Parsons Car Books or something it's called?
Yeah, it's definitely, Car Books in the name, certainly. Something I can't remember books, the guy's name, but yeah, he's got some really cool stuff.
Yes, if you're into brochures, check out our Spares Days. It tends to have an indoor trade pitch, so go into one of the halls and he'll be in there.
You can get some real gems literature-wise at our Spares.
Like, yeah.
The workshop manuals and parts manuals are like gold dust. Like, they're so useful to have. And he finishes off by saying his fifth choice would be a Range Rover Classic with the Brooklands kit.
Oh, very nice.
Brooklyn's edition.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Yeah. That's a fine lineup.
That is quite a different lineup.
Quite diverse. Mm,
yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's, you can't really argue with those choices, to be fair, Mark. Good on you. So, I think that's probably it for another week. I am ready to tie up some loose ends and probably go home and go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Come back a bit fresh.
I had to dry the roof tent out this morning, obviously, because the weather was so... there was quite a bit of rain at the weekend. I had to put the roof tent away wet. So this morning I had to...
I hate that when that happens.
Well, we were lucky.
Because you know you have to come back and do it again.
Because this morning it was sunny but still incredibly windy. So it was a prime roof tent drying weather.
Are you in the Freelander now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I got up, put the roof tent up outside, waited. It was so windy that it was trying to pick up underneath the sort of open end of the roof tent where the ladder comes down. It was trying to blow it shut.
I've had that happen to me. I was on a hillside, believe it or not, near Rutland Water.
Oh, right, yeah.
On a mate's field. And the wind did hook it up. But you can tie the ladders down.
Oh. I
don't know about yours, but it's got a lot of eyelets that you can what do you call it?
Tent pegs.
Guy rope down. Stop it.
No, I don't.
That can happen.
I don't think mine has.
If you go into the wind, yeah.
Luckily, I had a stack of wheels behind the house, so I chucked one of them in the overhanging bit, and that weighed it down. Mm. But it was a bit precarious. The ladder kept getting dragged about when I was thinking.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
that can happen.
On the upside, it did dry out very quickly.
But you know the other thing you can do?
What's that?
Is get one of those heavy-duty tent pegs, you know, the almost like the marquee ones.
Yeah.
And just bash it in and hook it over the bottom rung.
That's a good idea. Mine has got a strap. I think it's designed to be put, so you grab the strap to pull the ladder back off the roof, but I could peg that down. Here's a question for you.
Mm.
Genuine question. When you've got, because you've got similar style roof tent to me.
Very similar. Very similar.
Do you ever feel a bit nervous about getting on, climbing into the roof tent, the bit that's hanging in midair? Because it seems to me, even one person going up there, that's an awful lot of force right on the outer edge.
I was.
Okay.
But they are rated, even for someone of your size.
Quite a stout chap.
Yeah. No, I joke, but you think the ladder is also holding up.
I don't know. The ladder doesn't really offer any support.
Why?
It's not supposed to. How can it be?
Well, because it's on the ground, isn't it?
Yeah, but the ladder telescopes out, doesn't it? It's certain sections.
Yeah, but it doesn't, once it's touching the ground, it doesn't collapse on itself, does it?
Well, no, but it's not fixed, is it? Depends on what you're camping on, I suppose.
No, but if that's on the ground, then it's still going to add us a kind of a leg of support.
Okay.
But, yeah, I do know what you mean. I always think...
It feels weird, doesn't
it? Because, I'm...
You're no Slim Jim yourself.
No, I'm not. I'm over 100 kilos.
But it does feel
a bit more than 110 kilos. I don't know.
Well, regardless...
But it's a fair old weight to hang...
Yeah, because I don't know.
But if you look at where it hinges, that can only lock into there.
Yeah.
So it's not like it can...
No, I know what you mean. But it does feel odd. Anyone who's got a soft shell roof tent will have gone through this when they first got it. But
the I think it would be worse if the ladder wasn't there. I think it would allow it to flex more.
Yeah, probably.
Towards the ground.
Yeah.
But... Just don't go bouncing around. Just get in and lay out.
Mm. Always feel better because I always sleep with my head furthest from the opening.
Well, you should. You just crawl in that way, don't you?
Yeah, but I always feel better when I'm lying down and I feel like it's only really my legs that are in the bit that overhangs.
Yeah.
Like, and your weight, most of your weight is above the roof.
In the middle,
that feels a lot safer.
Beyond, yeah.
But like, yeah, I don't know. Just a weird sensation.
Have you mastered getting out?
No, so
and finding your feet.
I'm currently trialling different methods of getting out. Currently, my preferred method is to unzip the door and then climb out forwards.
Forwards?
Forwards, yeah.
Oh, dodgy.
Why?
Would you go down a ladder forwards?
I went down the ladder forwards at the weekend. It probably doesn't look that graceful, but you can see where you're going.
No, you should always turn around.
3 points of contact.
Go, yeah, you should always turn around. Yeah.
Cool. I'll try that next time.
Do it. Oh, no, I can't tell the story. I was just about to tell a story. I can't tell it.
You can. Come on, we'll sign off with it.
Yeah. So.
That changed your mind quickly.
Yeah. So So somebody was in a roof tent at one of the Land Rover shows a few years ago, and he was on his honeymoon.
Okay.
And he may have been standing on the ladder.
Really?
That's why I said I can't tell the story.
Okay. With right.
His wife may have been
having a nice time
in the roof tent. Okay. But he was actually on the ladder.
Right.
And in the excitable moment, he may have fallen backwards and
no
needed
way.
Medical assistance. Yeah.
That must have been embarrassing.
He fell from the top rung of his ladder backwards.
Just the cheeky rascal.
Naked.
Wow. What an ending to this week's podcast. I'd never heard that story before. Yeah. I'm genuinely shocked.
I wasn't there. This was before we had the shows or did anything with the shows.
Right. Wow.
The medics had to come along.
Was it someone we know?
No, I don't know them.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the guy's name.
Anyway.
But yeah, he fell backwards, completely backwards, on his back, in a lot of pain.
A honeymoon to remember. Yeah. Crikey.
And
he clearly wasn't nervous about.
He wasn't worried about which way he came out.
Anyway, right, that's quite enough of that.
What, I told you, I wasn't sure whether you could or couldn't.
That's fine. I think it's okay. Yeah. We've already slated an air compressor, so there's nothing wrong with telling stories that.
Yeah, no.
Borderline.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's probably it for another week now.
You're going on holiday soon.
There's going to be guests. Guests are happening. We've got two guests lined up for the next two podcasts, so you'll really
enjoy.
Will
you be on holiday when this comes out?
No, not this one. This is coming out
next week.
This week.
What?
Yeah.
Like 2 days' time?
Yeah.
Oh.
Things are all happening in funny orders because I'm going away for a bit and I need them
not
to make
prison.
Sense. Not to
you're
prison.
Going away for a bit? No. You mean you're going on annual leave?
Prison would be lovely. Imagine that. You wouldn't have to cook anything. You could just have peace and quiet. Well, most of the time, maybe.
Well, yeah.
I've not been to prison. Have you ever been to prison?
No, of course I haven't.
I just thought I'd ask. No. You never know, do you?
Have I ever been to prison?
Fashion police might have got you.
You can't say that in that show.
Right, shut up, Steve. Right. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'm signing off now because this is going way off the rails. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you're Steve Miller Automotive. I'm Land Rover Martin. Definitely follow Land Rover Monthly on Instagram, check out the Facebook page, check out YouTube. Leave us a rating or review for the podcast if you'd be so kind on your preferred streaming platform, be that Apple or Spotify or any of the others. We really appreciate it. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch, editorial@lrm.co.uk. We really, really enjoy getting your questions and we love seeing your feedback. What else is it? Oh, 3 issues for £3. Just a little reminder. Why would you not take advantage of that fantastic offer? If you're already a subscriber, sign up a friend.
Yeah. By the way, it's a gift.
GDPR breach, possibly. But you should just...
No, it's not a breach. You can do that. It's okay. There's an option to...
Oh, yeah, you can buy it as a present.
You can buy it for somebody else, a present. Yeah.
What? A perfect birthday present.
Yeah. It's a present they receive every month.
Exactly. It truly is the gift that keeps on giving.
Anyway, you're not a salesman. Let's go.
You need to order an impact gun. I need to do some work.
Whilst that offer's still on, because that's really good.
Yeah, definitely.
Then I'll use it and then write a review for everybody that didn't buy it, and hopefully it'll be a 5 out of 5 review.
And you can gloat over the excellent price you got it for.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, that's quite enough of that. See you next week.
Bye for now.